our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne this day, on this creation seventh day, we expect the Sabbath blessing. Teach us from your word. In Yahshua's name we pray. Amen. It is May 3rd, 2008, and we are in Guy's, Tennessee, at the Creation Seventh Day Adventist Church. The title of our sermon today is The Three Angels' Messages in Verity. I'm not using the projector or any other visual aids today. I hope that you will listen carefully. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. Revelation 14:6. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. How is it with your soul? Are you experiencing everlasting life? Or does intermittent life describe your experience? An intermittent life is a life of sin, confess. Sin, confess, with no lasting repentance. Are you among those who have heard and perhaps have even believed that it is possible to stop sinning, and yet you are still finding that you are perishing or falling to your human weaknesses on occasion? This John 3:16 everlasting life does not ever perish in a crisis or a moment of temptation, but rather it overcomes sin and is the victorious life of Christ living in you. So what does it mean to believe in Yahshua? To believe on Yahshua means to believe what he believes. If you were to believe on Yahshua, would you believe that you might sin in an unguarded moment sometime in the future? No, because Yahshua never believed that. By faith, he knew he would not be overcome by Satan's devices. And in the confidence of this true faith, he declared that he would be crucified and resurrected. This is the faith of Yahshua. And this is the exact faith of those who trust in him. Theologically speaking, Yahshua knew that it was entirely possible for him to yield to temptation. That is, fall into sin. He realized that his life of continual obedience would be possible only if he continued to yield to his Father's will. This was his theology, but what was his faith? His faith was this: I have set Yahweh always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Psalm 16:8. And Yahshua lived by his faith. It was not merely a profession or confession or verbal testimony. Correct theology is important, but this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And that faith is a faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Yahshua had faith in the word of inspiration, which says, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Psalms 119:112. Yah's word is powerful, and Yahshua's faith in his word caused that word to be true in his life. the word of Yah also says, O bless our God, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Psalm 66, verses 8 and 9. Yahshua knew by faith that his soul would be held in life, and according to his faith, it was unto him. To believe on Yahshua means to have the faith of Yahshua. We too must know by faith that our soul will be kept in life and that we will keep Yah's statutes always, even unto the end. This is the faith of Yahshua, and this is the faith of those who believe on Him. Even though in the past we were vile sinners, we are to be identical to Him in faith. What is your faith? The enemy will suggest that the Lord will not keep us from sinning and make us obedient to all of His requirements. He will direct our mind to our past imperfections, to our sin, failures, and mistakes, and tell us we need not expect to come off conquerors at last. But have we had faith that through Christ we should be able to overcome every temptation as He overcame? Signs of the Times, September 12, 1892. Are you living by the faith of the Son of God? Be honest with yourself. If you are living by His faith, you should be able to say, I have set Yahweh always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That is, I shall not be moved to violate the principles of love in Yah's law. We have a right to say, in the strength of Yahshua the Christ, I will be conqueror. I will not be overcome by Satan's devices. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength and shield. I shall not be overcome. Understanding how to exercise faith. This is the science of the gospel. We cannot obey the gospel unto salvation until the science of faith is better understood and until more faith is exercised. Review and Herald, October 18th, 1898. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen. Revelation 14:8. The second angel is not calling Christ's true church Babylon, for she is not confused with pagan errors. Christ does not judge His body to be Babylon fallen, either, for she has not committed fornication with the kings of the earth. These names, Babylon and Babylon fallen, are assigned to the apostate churches. The chosen ones who are standing, not falling, and breasting the storm of opposition from the world, and are uplifting the downtrodden commandments of Yahweh to exalt them as holy and honorable, are indeed the light of the world. How dare mortal man pass judgment upon them and call the true church a harlot or Babylon? From Ellen G. White, Manuscript Number 21, 1893. In history past, time after time, once organized churches left the faithful duty of their calling by joining with the state to persecute dissenters. These denominations took on the character of the world, thus losing their distinctive Christian qualities. They rightly represented the name of Babylon, which is confusion caused by unbiblical doctrines, And eventually, they manifested the spirit of force, which is the last resort of all false religion. No matter how pure their doctrines may be, force is still the last resort of all false religion. When a church, regardless of how high her profession or calling, persecutes human beings created in the image of Yah, even by the act of taking them to court, that church has divorced her husband and chosen the world as her judge. Any denomination which enters into an unholy union with civil authorities on behalf of the corporate body also brings the condemnation of God on each individual who will not make haste to correct the wrongs. When it is clear that the corporate body will not repent of their sin, the second angel declares to the individual members of that corporate body, "Babylon is fallen," Revelation 14:8. She is fallen. The rulers and leaders of the earth have joined with her in committing fornication. "Come out from her, my people, so that you may not share in her sins, neither participate in her plagues." Revelation 18:2 through 4 from the Amplified Bible. The world system must not be introduced into the organized church and married to her, forming a bond of unity. Through this means of marriage to the world system, the organized church will become indeed corrupt, and as stated in Revelation, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, or Babylon Fallen. Adapted from Testimonies to Ministers, page 265. Then the call is given to the organized church, which has become the apostate church organization, "Come out and do thy first works." Faithful souls leave the fallen establishment and come together in the unity of the Spirit and the faith of Yahshua in order to share with the world the good news of the marriage to Christ in the beauty of holiness. Some who are confused by Babylon say, "You should stay in the fallen denomination and witness to the erring." To those we publish the following. Many will stand in our pulpits with the torch of false prophecy in their hands, kindled from the hellish torch of Satan. If doubts and unbelief are cherished, the faithful ministers will be removed from the people who think they know so much. Testimonies to Ministers, page 409. All the faithful will be removed from the apostate church organization by the call of the second angel. Others who are confused by Babylon say, "We must be in unity, press together, don't make waves, our church organization will go through." To this we answer, "We have a testing message to give, and I am instructed to say to our people, unify, unify, but we are not to unify with those who are departing from the faith by baptizing homosexuals, misappropriating tithe, playing the stock market, investing in companies selling alcoholic beverages, playing politics, performing abortions, promoting doctrinal errors of the papacy, enlisting civil power of the state and federal governments to persecute believers, etc." Adapted from Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 412. Those who are brethren with us have not separated from the true message of righteousness, neither have we separated from the true church. We have not even started a new church. We have reorganized the body of Christ so that Yah's faithful ones may be in proper gospel order as designed by the Savior. "I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me," says Christ, "that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me, and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. John 17, verses 22 and 23. Christ's church is being separated from the apostate bodies, making the last merciful call to sinful man. In failing to cooperate with God, the denominational Adventist church has lost her first love. Very many of God's professed people today do not love Him supremely and their neighbors as themselves. Yahshua is inviting all who will cooperate with Him. A good work is to be done. And God calls the willing ones to come out from among those who will not take their stand by the side of Christ. Adapted from Review and Herald, August 28, 1900. This means that the true church needs to come out from among those who do not love Yahweh supremely and their neighbors as themselves. This principle is a life and death matter. You are exhorted to touch not the unclean thing, for in touching this, you will yourself become unclean. It is impossible for you to unite with those who are corrupt and still remain pure. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? God and Christ and the heavenly host would have man know that if he unites with the corrupt, he will become corrupt. Review and Herald, January 2, 1900. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yah and the faith of Yahshua. Revelation 14:12. Christ has a church in which the gates of hell are not prevailing, and He wants you to be a member of the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of Yah and have the testimony and faith of Yahshua the Christ. Revelation 12:17. This is the message of the third angel. I then saw the third angel. Said my accompanying angel, "Fearful is his work, awful is his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner." Early Writings, page 118. And again, I was shown that the third angel, proclaiming the commandments of God and the faith of Yahshua, represents the people who receive this message and raise the voice of warning. Testimonies for the Church, volume 1, page 77. The angels are now separating the church from apostasy, confusion, and all sin that is known or conscious and unintentional or ignorant sin. The last generation saints are being sanctified in the judgment of the living that is now in process. Those who have been separated by the mighty fourth angel of Revelation 18 have not departed from the doctrines that have been given to us from the beginning. They have not left the practices of true religion or the principles of church organization and religious liberty. We are organized under the head who is Christ in the unity of the Spirit and the faith of Yahshua, not splintered into independent atoms. The angel is even now harvesting Yah's children everywhere, and the commandment-keeping people are coming to the front for the final conflict. We want you to know that the remnant church, creation's Seventh-day Adventists, just as the Savior, has arms open wide to receive you. To be in Christ is to be a member of His body, perfectly united in one. we cordially invite you to join the ranks of those who keep the commandments of Yah and have the faith of Yahshua. Revelation 14:12. Think about it. How is it in your personal experience? Does the television God rule your heart? Does the meal table God or snack worm rule your stomach? Do you find that sin is not being eradicated from your life? Do you become impatient or irritated from time to time? That is not to ask, do you feel impatient or irritated, but do you become so? Do you ever overtly manifest rudeness, unkindness, or impoliteness in the family circle? Do you fail to accomplish known duties? Do you procrastinate in performing a task of importance? Do you make commitments or promises that you fail to keep? Are you typically forgetful? Do you violate principles of agreement in your dealings with others? Are you guilty of officiousness from time to time? Do the world's frills attract your attention and energies? Do the world's axioms rule your way of living? Be honest with yourself today. How is it really in your life? The Bible teaches that if you ever fall to these sorts of human weaknesses, you are breaking the commandments of Yahweh. It does not matter if you do these things ignorantly, for the time has now come that all may be accountable for their actions. Whoever willfully breaks the Creator's moral laws hath not seen Him, neither known Him. 1 John 3:6. If you are among those who are perishing, there is hope for you this day. We present to you the gift of Yahshua's own life. He will free you from the corruptions that you now love. He will give you a clean and new heart. If you have not received this wondrous gift, please do so right now. Your only safety is in coming to Christ and ceasing from sin this very moment. The sweet voice of mercy is sounding in your ears today, but who can tell if it will sound tomorrow? Signs of the Times, August 29th, 1892. The principles are clear. What is your choice? Do you love your denominational church more than Christ? Do you love your wife or husband, son or daughter, more than Yahweh? Do you love your pastor, teacher, or mentor more than your Creator? If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:26 and 27. The Spirit and the Bride, Creation Seventh-day Adventists, say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. This is the three angels' messages in verity. What is your decision? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your instruction. We thank you for your love letter, the word of Yahweh, that we have preserved in the Bible and spirit of prophecy. We thank you for the precious promises that all may trust implicitly. Father, we know there's no excuse for sin. Not even ignorance can be used as an excuse in this generation. For all souls are brought forward to the judgment of the living, at least all who have named Christ as their Savior. And in the judgment of the living, every plague spot of character is examined. And even the ignorant sins will not be overlooked. Dear Father, have mercy upon your people. Help us to understand the time in which we live. Help us to understand how close it is to the very close of human probation. For those who hear this message, and I trust that many will, may they take it seriously. May they take it to heart and find repentance. A repentance that is not to be repented of. And may the three angels' messages in verity close triumphant. In Yahshua's name we pray. Amen.